Good morning. Perhaps some of you will remember having heard the name Harold Camping. He was all over the news about 3 or 4 years ago because he had made a prediction of the end of the world. It was sort of well publicized. He spent millions of dollars on advertisements showing that the end of the world would definitely be May 21st, 2011. Well, that day obviously has come and gone. He later revised his predictions based on the Bible and said, okay, the end of the world now is definitely going to be October 21st, 2011. Well, obviously we're all still here, so those didn't come true. Now, probably most of you don't remember hearing the name Harold Camping, and the reason is because, like so many before him, he is just another person who made a failed prediction of the end of the world. These predictions are nothing new. People have gone on for centuries making predictions about the end, and probably the thing that motivates these people to make these predictions is that they want to be ready when the end comes. And so the question before us this morning is, are you ready for the Lord's return? As we consider this, we consider our text this morning from 1 Thessalonians 5, the first 11 verses. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So from the beginning of our text, it's clear that we are not going to be able to predict when the day will come when the Lord will return. But we can be sure that we are ready. And we can be sure because we're not in the same boat as the rest of the world. We're not going to be caught off by the Lord's return like the rest of the world is. As Christians who have been purchased and won by the blood of Christ, we anticipate Jesus' return with joy. We're not going to be caught off guard because we're not in darkness like the rest of the world, but we are children of the light. We're children of the day. We have been made different from the rest of the world, and as such, we're encouraged then to live like the people that we are, to live like people who are different. And in verse 8, the Lord gives us direction then how to do this. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. If we're to be ready, if we're to be different from unbelievers who are spiritually asleep, who are drunk and intoxicated by sin, then we'll be properly dressed with the armor that the Lord has provided for us. That means wearing that breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope. These themes of faith, hope, and love are seen throughout Scripture. But they're not just terms that we're to discuss, but they're things that we are to wear. The encouragement here is that we fan our faith into a flame, that we might evermore be firmly founded on the Lord's promises. We're encouraged to put our love into action in the way that we interact with one another. We're to hold on to that hope in our hearts and our heads so that it influences all that we do, Because that hope of salvation is the only sure thing that we have in this world which is drawn to the darkness, which loathes the light. We all know how difficult it is for us to avoid that darkness. We can think of countless times in our lives when we have tried to go on in life not wearing the breastplate and the helmet that the Lord has provided for us. Without these, we're vulnerable. We're susceptible to sin. When we look back at those times in our lives when we've lived this way, it isn't pretty. A friendship has faltered because we just had to get that last word in, and that last word was anything but a word of love. We've done a stupid thing because our faith floundered and we thought we needed to give the Lord a little help because He wasn't quite getting us to that place that we thought we needed to get to. And what ensued was a disaster. In times of despair, instead of turning to God's Word to find our hope there, how often have we just moved away from God's Word and stayed in that state of despair and hopelessness? That breastplate and helmet are sitting right there. They're right there in God's Word for us. But when we fail to put them on, as we so often do, we stand no chance in our spiritual battles against the devil, who is resilient and ruthless. We know from the Scriptures that the Lord has made us different than those who are in the world. But when we look at ourselves, we have to admit that we often don't look all that different. And when we see our failures, our shortcomings, and our sins, we might be tempted to fall into despair, to think that we are not ready for the Lord's return. We know that the Lord is coming back to judge the world. And for any of us who have spent time dwelling in the darkness, it's a terrifying thought. It's a terrifying thought for you and me until we read what Paul says in verse 9 of our text. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can know for certain that we are ready because we know what the Lord wants to do with us. It's not God's desire to punish sinful humanity for their sins forever, but rather it's God's desire for all to come to repentance, to faith in Jesus Christ. When mankind rebelled against God, He didn't just put man away, say that all men should go to hell, but He prepared for us our salvation from eternity. He promised that a Savior would come to destroy the works of the devil. He promised that a Savior would come to remove our sin and to restore to us that righteousness that God demands. He promised a Savior who would work out our salvation for us and present that to us then as a free gift. God carried out that plan through Jesus. Jesus, who fashioned for us that breastplate of love and faith and that helmet of hope by that perfect life that He lived in our place. Jesus, of whom Paul says in verse 10, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Jesus died for us. That's what it took. The sacrifice of God's perfect Son was the only thing valuable enough to pay for the sins of the whole world. Jesus paid the price for all of those times that we weren't ready for His return. All of those times that we got so wrapped up in the here and now that we lived our lives as if Jesus wasn't going to come back. As if He couldn't come back soon. He paid for all of those sins of the times when we don't act like the different people that the Lord has called us to be. He died for us so that we might live with Him. And as proof that the Lord had accepted Jesus' sacrifice, He raised Him from the dead on the third day. Because He lives, we also will live. So friends, you are ready for the day of Jesus' coming, for that final judgment day, because it was God's loving desire to make you different, to call you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are ready because Jesus has saved you. He has called you to be His own through water and the word of baptism. And He declares you to be not guilty, heirs of eternal life. And so as we go along, let us do what Paul encourages in the last verse of our text. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And so let's do this then as we look forward with joyful anticipation to that day when the Lord will return to take us home to be with Him in heaven. In His name, amen. We conclude our worship this morning by singing two verses from hymn 611. We'll sing verses 5 and 7. Hymn 611, verses 5 and 7.